Okay, can you guys hear me in the back? Yes, yes, okay, amen. So during announcements, Pastor Drea was talking about our Sunday school. And the Lord reminded me, and this is in any time you are in a church setting, Bible study, or home study, you're going to get out of it what you put into it.
Amen.
Amen. The teachers don't necessarily have to be extremely eloquent. They just need to know the word. They need to trust the Holy Spirit to speak through them. Amen. But the person hearing has to be willing to take the word, chew on it a little bit, digest it, marinate in it, focus on it, and allow it to change you. So sometimes you'll go, you'll look at yourself and you go, I'm no different today than I was 3 years ago. Well, why is that? You have not digested the word of God. It's not the pastor's fault. It's not the teacher's fault. We're only vessels. When you share a word with me, you're only a vessel. If I don't get it, that's not your fault. That's mine, right? So in any time you are gathered together to hear and to learn from God, from the word, first of all, the discernment that it is the word of God, you want to make sure that you take that back with you and study it again.
Amen.
And go over it again.
Amen.
And sit there and meditate on the word of God, because your true growth does not happen in the house.
Amen. Amen.
It does not happen because we're only here a couple of hours a week.
Amen.
It does not happen here. Your true growth will happen when you're at home meditating on the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Good word.
Amen. So online, the title of the message is shortened because it was really, really long. And Pastor Ben said he couldn't get that on there.
Go ahead and tell him so they'll see.
So the title of the message is Love. Be conscious of the presence of God while redeeming the time. You want me to say it again? Love, be conscious of the presence of God while redeeming the time.
Amen.
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 So just bear with me a little bit. We're going to start with 1 John 4:7-8. I want to kind of break it off. He starts off by calling you love. Okay? Sang it, Pastor Sandy. Amen. Are we there?
Amen.
I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Amen.
So he starts off by calling you beloved. That means that you are loved. You are a product of love. Okay? So he starts off and he calls you beloved. First of all, you are already a product of love. So the ability to love God's way, he's already placed in you. Amen. Whether or not you recognize it, he's placed it in you. He said, let us love one another. So in order for you to actually be confident in that love, you've got to love someone else. Amen.
Amen.
Does it say that that person has to love you first?
No.
No. He said, let us love one another. Am I responsible for the other, or am I responsible for me, for the one? I'm responsible for the actions of the one. So for me, beloved, let us love, so it comes here first, one another. Then he goes, he says, for love is of God. Love is God. God is love. And if you're a product of God, then you are, somebody say it, you are love. If you're a product of God, you are love. So I'm really belaboring this a little bit because I need us to understand that the love of God should flow from us at all times. At all times. And it's easy for us to let our flesh speak, but your flesh is a liar.
Yes.
He is your enemy. He does not know love. He does not know how to love, and he does not care about love. Are you a product of your flesh or a product of God?
Amen.
Amen. I am a product of God. So beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God. I mean, it's so beautiful if you really break it down. Love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. You are so entwined into Him, so wrapped up in God. There's no separation between His children and Him. Amen. But he that does not love, this is how you know them by their fruit. He that does not love does not know God. I cannot say that I'm a Davis if I've never married a Davis or been born a Davis. I can't say it. And if I wasn't born one, I'm not one. If I didn't marry into one and give up my old name for a new name, amen, I'm not one.
Right. Amen.
So if you can't love, you don't know God. Amen. I can't love her. I can't, Lord, I can't love her. Look at the way she behaves. There was nothing in here that says love them that love you.
Amen.
Look at the way he speaks to me. There's nothing in there says that you have to get it before you give it. First of all, he gave it. God gave it first.
Right.
He gave his love before he received love from us. And even today, sometimes our love is a little iffy. It's conditional, right? Lord, if you bless me, I'll love you more. How many of us have heard that?
Yep.
If you do this, I'll do that. But that's not how his love is. His love is not about what we can give him, but about how much he can pour into us. And you know what's awesome about this love that God has? It is transforming. It is because of God's love that we know how to love. It is because he first loved us that we can love someone else. It is his love that taught us what love was. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In the Passion version of the scripture, it says, those who are loved by God, let us love continually, pour from you to one another, because God is love. Everyone who loves is fathered by God and experience an intimate knowledge of him. The one who doesn't love has yet to know God, for God is love. This love is an intimate knowledge of who God is. So before he said anything, he said love, because we have an intimate knowledge of who he is. He's called you his love. He says, love, you know me. We talk together. We walk together. You have heard me speak. And I heard you say yes. He's calling you his love because of an intimate knowledge that he knows that you have of him because he placed it in you. I know my daughter goes to school with enough to take care of her for the day.
Yeah.
I know she has the supplies to do her studies. She has the money to feed herself. She has the ability to take care of herself. Why do I know? How do I know? Because I make sure she has it. I give it to her. I know what I gave her. I know the tools I have given her to help her succeed. Now, whether or not she uses those tools is totally up to her. Whether or not she recognizes those tools is totally up to her. She can go to school with money in her pocket and be hungry. Either she's going to go and buy something to feed herself, or she's gonna starve, right? So you already know what God has placed in you. Do you wanna walk out that love? Do you wanna really have experience? Because you can't really experience love if you're not giving it away.
Yeah.
You really can't. You can. I mean, you wanna hoard onto it, but it really is imbalance.
Yeah.
If you're hoarding onto it, if you're in a relationship and there's the wife who's very giving and very loving and she's pouring in and she's a providing, and then there's a husband and all he does is take, is very imbalanced, right? And eventually the wife's gonna get tired. She may still do it because she's doing it not necessarily for a love for him, but for a love for God. But the battle that rages within her because of the imbalance, I'm giving and giving, I don't receive. And then of course the person's getting fat that's receiving and receiving, just bloated, obese, don't even know what to do. Have you ever heard you take so many good things, get vitamins, the vitamins D, B, E, A, B, and C, all that, but you can only take so much.
Right.
If you take too much, it starts to poison you.
Yeah.
Right? If you take some, and especially if you don't know how, if you're not doing the exercise to kind of sweat it out, you're not eating the food to kind of flush your system, it's kind of point. It can be that same way when someone's constantly pouring that love and you're just sitting there getting obese with it. You're stingy. You're being loved, but you're stingy. You're right. Mean.
Right.
You're selfish.
Yeah.
But you're being loved. Yep. And you look yourself in the mirror, and if you're honest, you can't stand what you see. You don't like what you see because you know that you've gotten way more than you even tried to give.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And we can be that way in our relationship with God. But he says, love, first of all, be aware. I'm here. How many of us, when we know that there's a speed trap, we extra careful on how fast we're going down that street?
Yeah.
Extra, you know, like the beginning of the month and the end of the month in certain cities, it's just a bit much. And so you want to stop soon as the light turn yellow. You want to stay just at or just under the speed limit, right? Because you're aware that the police are present. Or if you're at work and, you know, sometimes we do time steal. If you know your boss is standing behind you, nobody's on Yahoo. Nobody's checking their personal email when the boss is right behind them. Or when you know they're coming up behind you because you're aware of an authority, right? Why are we not aware of the authority of God that is constantly before us?
Amen.
We lose consciousness because we take for granted his love. We take for granted his blessings. And we lose consciousness of his presence in our lives. And so then we go too fast because I got to get there, even though he's standing right there saying, slow down. Or we go too slow because I don't want to get there.
Right.
And he's standing there saying, I need you to move a little bit faster. But he's asking us to be aware of his presence more than you are aware of the earthly authority that you have. Be aware of his presence because they may give you a ticket. They may even take your car, but he can put you in hell. He can take away your blessings.
Yes.
He can take away everything he's given to you. Because he loves us, he doesn't necessarily do it like that. He can put us in hell, but we don't get put in hell. We choose to go to hell.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Nobody that's there was put there. No one, and no one that's going is made to go. Everyone has made a choice.
Yes.
Whether you want to believe it or accept it or not.
Yes.
And because he loves us, he's like, I don't want you to make the choice. So I want you conscious of my presence. Conscious that I am with you. There is not one place that you can go to flee from his presence. Not one. No, not one. I don't care how crazy your imagination is. There's not one place that we can go to flee from the presence of God. And because his presence, first of all, brings love, that if you receive it, it's joyful. And if you don't, it's oppressive. So my thing to you is receive his love. Receive his love and be aware of who he is. Amen?
Amen.
2 Chronicles 2 and 16, 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. And this is from the NIV. It says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose heart are fully committed to him. I want to stop right there. As believers, and I pray that I'm looking out to a body of believers, and it may not be that way online, but I pray that you become a believer. As believers, we have to recognize where we are. We are in a battlefield. This is a battlefield.
Amen.
Recognize it. Denial will get you nowhere.
Amen.
It'll get you shot.
Amen.
It'll get you hurt. Okay. Recognize that you are in a battlefield. But recognize while in this battlefield, you've already won. So when you start to look at it, when you approach every day, sorry, it's hot up here. When you approach every day as if, okay, I know the war is on, but I've already won. You avoid unnecessary sins or downfalls. You avoid the unkind word because you're tired. because you already know I'm in the battlefield and I've already won. You avoid the negativity that's so prevalent around us, especially if you're in an office. It just lives there. You know, even if you're in an office with a lot of Christians, I don't know why, it still just lives there.
Yeah.
It still lives there. There's a negativity. There's that I hate my job. I hate my boss. And it's almost like something's wrong with you if you don't say that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, if you don't say I hate my job, it's like, well, who loves their job? Who loves to work? Well, there are people who like to work.
Yeah.
They like what they do. That's why they're so good at it, because they enjoy it. But as believers, if we recognize that we're in a battlefield, and we recognize that the Lord is watching not only us, but our enemies,
mm-hmm.
right? So like the generals, when they would, back in the day, they had the whole strategic war board, and they knew where the enemies were placed. They had an idea where the enemies were placed on this side. And so they said, okay, well, we're going to take our troops and we're going to move them. There's somebody strategically planning the moves, because not only do they see where you are, but they see where the enemy is.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
So in your life, in your situation, recognize that he not only sees you, but he sees where that enemy is. And so, yes, it may be uncomfortable that he has placed you to the left where they are, but there's a reason. And your victory is in that place.
Yes.
Don't move because it's uncomfortable. Don't run away because it hurts. Recognize that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere.
Yeah.
He sees you and you, and he sees them. And not only that, he knows what they're about to do before they do it.
Yes.
So he's better off than any general.
Yes.
He's better off than any strategic war planner.
Yes.
Because not only does he see them, but he knows their thoughts.
Yes.
Recognize the enemy does not know your thoughts.
That's right.
He liked to play it like that.
Thank you.
He likes to play it. He likes to play the game and make it seem like, man, how did he know? Because he's a studier of human behavior.
Amen.
And so he may not know your thoughts, but because of the way you're behaving, you told him what you were thinking. He knows because you told him.
Right.
Yeah.
Not because he read it, right?
Right.
But our God, our love, the creator of all good things, he knows their thoughts. He knows their plans. And he says, I know it's hot over here, but I want you to move 3 steps to the left and stand.
Mm-hmm.
It's hot, it's uncomfortable, mud is up to your ankles, but you must stand because your love knows and he has a greater plan for you. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Job 31 and 4 says, does he not see my ways and count every step? Did you hear that?
Go ahead.
Does he not see my ways and count every step? Does he? You have 2 sisters, both saved. One sister has been raised to, you know, like sometimes the firstborn is always the favorite, no matter what. Firstborn daughter or grandchild or son. It just happens. It's not on purpose. Most parents don't purposely set out to do that. But it happens, right? And then the secondborn, because truthfully, the parents have learned mistakes, what they did with the firstborn. They feel like the rules that happen with the secondborn are so unfair. But in truth, they're that way because I saw what I did. I don't want to do it again, right? But for the person in the middle of it, we don't see the panoramic view,
yeah.
Right? And so we look at the behavior of these 2 children raised in the church. And the one who's been raised to think that they can do no wrong thinks that they can do no wrong. But God sees. And the one who's been raised to be more cautious or a little bit more thoughtful in their behavior, they're like, I don't understand God. She gets away with it all. How many of us said that? I said it. They get away with it all. I'm always the one getting punished. You're always yelling at me. You're always pointing me out. But he says, does he not see your ways and count your steps? Again, when he says, love one another, he's talking to you about you and what you give to another, not what you get. So yes, she seems to get away with everything. And you seem to be yelled at about everything, right? But the truth is, her journey and her path has absolutely nothing to do with yours. And so while she may be getting away, she's got an answer. You're just getting I'd rather the quick whooping than the long drawn out one, personally.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I say this because sometimes we see when we're in relationships or when we're with siblings or when we're friends, and we see the things that they are going through and the things that they are doing, and we don't understand why they didn't get slapped.
Right.
Like 10 years ago. I mean, you should have handprints all over your head from your behavior, right? But we can't really worry so much about, in that aspect, about whether or not they're being punished or whether or not they're being dealt with in their mess. Their journey is very different, and their response to punishment will be very different. And so while you may respond quickly to the quick slap, that other one needs to simmer before they respond. And that's why you don't see them getting smacked upside their head. Because if I jump on Asia right away about something, she don't hear a word I said. Womp, 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 womp. That's all she hears. If I jump immediately to try to get her to understand something, you can see it in her face. Just glass. Just nothing. Just nothing. But if I take my time and actually sit down with her and talk it out, I can tell she's actually getting it. So she's one of those that slowly simmers before she has to deal, before you deal with her. Whereas with Allie, quickly. I'm sorry, Mom, I won't ever do that again. I don't know if that's gonna last. I hope it does, but the difference is they're very different personalities. Yeah. Their makeup is very different,
yeah.
But God sees it all. And he knows how to deal with this personality versus that personality. And he is aware of what's going on. He's aware of your battle. He's aware of the enemy. Whether he lives in the house or he's outside, he is aware, and he's going to take care of that.
Yeah.
You are not to go and try to start a fight yourself. I always tell my kids, don't fight the teacher. You come to me, I'll fight him.
Yeah.
It's not your job to go up against another adult.
Right.
It's not your job. I'm your mother. I'm the one responsible. So when they mistreat you, I go to the school and I deal with it.
That's right.
It is not your job to try to fight someone that you believe is the enemy of God. Or your enemy. Because sometimes they're not your enemy. They are great to keep you in line.
Right.
May not like it.
Right.
But their behavior will keep you from going too far off to the left. Right?
Amen.
It is not your job to go and discipline someone else. It is your job to be disciplined yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
So love, be conscious of the presence of God while redeeming the time.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that time.
Yeah.
Time.
Amen.
How many of us on our jobs, we've had like a 401k? Do we know what a 401k is?
Yes.
Or, huh?
Bingo.
A bingo number? Be quiet. Okay, so 401k is a retirement investment plan that happens from your job. There are those that happen that you can do on your own that's not connected with your job, and that is after taxes, right? But with the 401k, with your job, they put money in from your bank, your paycheck before taxes. So it lessens your tax liability at the time. But the good thing about a 401k is that not only do you put a little bit of money in, your job does too. They match, however the matching works, right? The first year, you may see that your few hundred dollars a month has gained you several thousand dollars, and you're excited. But with a 401k, you can get excited about that short gain, because next year you may actually lose it all, right? But what works with a 401k is the longevity.
Yes.
You stay in it. If you stay in it, you will come out higher than you started, okay? That's a good thing about money when you invest. If you learn how to invest, you realize that short term you may be losing, but it's a good investment.
Right.
You've studied it. You understand it. Short term, I may be losing, but long term, as the company grows and as they develop, I know that there is a potential for greater earnings. So I'm willing to stay there for the long haul.
Right.
That's really great when you're dealing with your finances. that is really poor when you're dealing with time. Okay? Time cannot be recaptured.
Right.
Yesterday, September 14th, 2019, will never return.
Amen.
What you did or did not do will not change. While you can do that with your investment, with your time, it is not possible. It must be redeemed immediately.
Yes.
With your, if you play some type of lottery type game, there's a time for you to redeem. Once that time is up, if you show up after that time, you get nothing. Right?
Right.
It is the same with our regular time. As Christians, we need to decide what's important. We are living in a world where everything we do is a time sucker. Yeah. It just takes the life out of you. You look back and you're like, 4 hours and what have I done? I have watched a bunch of TV that just numbed my brain. You know, I've gotten so lazy. You know, I haven't moved off this couch.
Yeah.
It's a time sucker, but that's the battlefield you're living in. You're living in a battlefield that's going to steal your time if you let it. But if you know how to redeem your time,
yes,
if you know how to manage your time, if you take that moment to stop, start your day off with the word, start your day off with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be in a scripture, but a communication,
yes,
right? I may not be able to cuddle in the morning, but I can remind him that I love him, right? That communication is actually making better use of your time than running out to work. Although you're already 15 minutes late, what is 5 more minutes going to do? Not much, right? Running out to work, you half dressed, you've yelled at the kids, you didn't say goodbye to your husband, everyone's angry, you haven't talked to God, and you're wondering why your day is starting off so bad, and you can't go back and fix it. You can't go back and take that back. You may be able to apologize to Pastor Sandy, but you can't take back what you did or didn't do.
That's right.
You can't take that back. Amen?
Amen.
But Jeremiah 29 says that God knows the plans that he has for us. So since he knows the plans that he has for us, it's important that we actually spend more time with him than we do on our social media.
Amen.
It's important that we spend more time with him than we do just lazing around the house. Don't get me wrong. There is a time to relax.
Yes.
There is a time to just breathe in, breathe out. Okay? There's a time for that. But what better way to relax when it's just you and Jesus?
Amen.
Right? Because I know me. If it's just me, my mind is going to take me to some of the strangest, most ridiculous. And I am angry about what happened when I was 10.
Yeah.
Like it just happened. If I allow my mind to go there.
Yeah.
But when I relax in Christ, I don't worry about that.
Amen.
When I relax just listening and hearing the voice of God or just talking to him, I'm not so worried about all the other things, right? But since he knows the plans that he has for me, I know the plans I have to build my house. I have drawn them out specifically. I know how the rooms are to be laid out. I know how large or small. I know where the furniture is to be laid. So if I bring you in to help me build my house, wouldn't it be best for you to spend time with me to understand my plans?
Yes. Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Because I know my plans. I am very specific about my plans. I am not iffy. I don't wishy-wash anything. The decisions are made. And since I know the plans I have for you, why aren't you spending more time with me?
Amen.
Since I already know the plans, and since my plans will trump anything you can ever come up for yourself, you may try to detour, but you're going to get back on my road because I've laid it out for you.
Amen.
You might come back one leg short, but that was your choice. I know the plans I have for you, said the Lord. Plans to prosper you. And this is not about money. This is not about the tangible things.
Right.
This is not about what you can get in this world, because this is fake.
Yeah.
This is fool's gold.
Right.
Right? However many cars, however big your bank account is, it's fake. When the fire comes, it burns. Right?
Right.
He says plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Then you will see, once you recognize that the architect has already laid it out, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Once you recognize who's in control, who's in charge, who's got the true answers,
yes.
He says, you'll come to me, you'll call on me, and I will listen. I am not an absentee father. I'm not one who just hears womp, womp, womp. I actually hear you. I hear more than you speak about your situation. Did you realize that? You may just say, Lord, I'm tired. And he heard, Lord, I feel so unloved. I feel like everyone has abandoned me and they're not with me. I feel like there's just no one for me. Everyone is against me. I have lost all that I have. I don't know which way to turn. I'm confused. I'm lost. I'm hurt. And all you said was, Lord, I'm tired. He says, I know what you have not spoken. He says, you will seek me and find me with all your heart. This is what you do when you really want to know the true plans. When you really want to know the road that you should be on, is seek him and I will be found by you.
Yes.
I will bring you back from that abandonment, from that captivity, from that destruction you thought you were. I'll bring you back. I'll bring you out of that. Amen?
Amen.
He says, and I'll gather you from all the nations. I'm going to bring them all out. I'm going to gather them. He's going to gather you as a hen gathers his chicks. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen that? It is so beautiful. Yeah. They just running around, just running around. And the hen's like, it's time to take a nap, guys. And she spreads her wings and just gathers them and corrals them gently, lovingly. Even that one that tried to spring out, she stretched up. No. Come right back over. He says, I'm going to gather you from the nations. I'm going to take all those broken places, all those shattered glasses, all of that, and I'm going to bring it back together, and the latter shall be greater than the first.
Yes.
What you saw, that shiny fool's gold, let's just trim it off. Let's just break that down. Let's just shatter this down to what's real.
Mm-hmm.
And let take the real and let's rebuild it.
Yes.
As I gather you back.
Amen.
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 Even the scripture says that he prays for us. This is how important it is for us to be aware, be conscious of him, because he prays for us. He knows when we are just kind of like decisive on just, sometimes we're just decisive on just doing what's wrong. We've said it. I know it's not right. I got to do it. I got to give her a piece of my mind. Because I want to break it down easy, because we might not want to agree to the rest of it. So I'll break it down to this. I know I should keep my mouth shut, but she done made me angry. She was wrong, and I need to tell her. How many of us said it?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, that's an easy one to agree to.
Yeah.
But we've done some of the harder ones and some of the uglier ones.
Yeah.
When we knew it wasn't right, but we just had to do it.
Yeah.
He says, but if you're consciously aware that I am with you, it will be so much easier to give up what your physical rights is, to surrender to my will, than it would be if you ignore my presence.
Yes.
Our physical, mm-hmm. It shakes from your feet all the way up. When you, I'm serious, you felt it. When you've got to say it, your whole body is raging with what you got to say. But when you are consciously aware of the presence of God and the fact that he has not walked away,
mm-hmm.
He has not abandoned you. In fact, he is standing right there going, really? I see it. I see what you want to say. Really? Are you going to go there? Is this really where we're taking this? Because I'm telling you not to. I'm telling you, I'll be glorified in your silence.
Yes.
I'll be glorified in your decision to love them instead of beating them,
mm-hmm.
To love them instead of cursing them. To show the love of God instead of showing them and telling them you going to hell. What good is that? What did you do? What did that mean to that person?
Amen.
When you just condemned them to hell? What did that mean to them?
Yeah.
You have not brought life. You have not brought peace. You haven't even provoked a thought in them, because out of anger, you spoke from your flesh.
Right.
And you've forgotten that your God was standing right there.
Amen.
We cannot afford to forget. I can't afford to forget he's standing right here with me.
Yes.
I can't afford to forget that he's surrounding me.
Yes.
It costs me too much when I forget.
Yes.
And I lose out on things I can never regain. I can never regain time with my daughters. They only stay the age they are for 1 year. 1 year. And then they're older. And then one more year and they're older. And the older they get, the less they really want to deal with you.
Yeah.
So if I'm ignoring them when they're that little, I can't get it back when they're that big.
That's right.
I can't get it back. I can't reshape them. When a potter makes a vase or whatever they're making, they mold it. If the clay doesn't take on the right shape, they don't try to reshape it. They throw it in the glass, in the fire. They break it. It just becomes a shear all over the floor. This trash. When you have wasted time, when you have wasted the precious gift of life that God has given us. Every day, someone said, we think as churches that we have to have these big evangelism programs to draw people to Christ. But if you pay attention, and you probably have visited many churches that have done this, if you pay attention, they may bring thousands in and they go, oh, 159,000 got saved this weekend. And you're like, ah, praise the Lord. And next week, only three of them are showing up to church. And if you really go back and check on those people who got saved, none of them are living a life of salvation. Because we have spent more time trying to stand and preach than actually going out and sharing the love of Christ. This preacher said that he saw more people staying the course that have actually been invested into from the church, meaning taking that time, we call them, we pray with them. You know, the kids are in need, we make sure the kids have what they need. Actually sharing love is more than I love you.
Right.
It is an action word.
Amen.
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 He gave his life that we might not only be called children of God, but that we be healed from diseases and sickness, that we will be redeemed from the things of this world, from the weight of this world. He put it into action, and he's asking us to do the same. He says, all those people that got saved, they couldn't stay because there was no love poured into them. You poured a love first, and I watched them get saved, watched them run to be saved.
Right.
He loved you first before you came to him.
Right.
Right. And he's already given us an example. Who are we to think our formula is better? Right?
Amen.
You want a better wife? You want a better wife? You want a better wife? Love her. Show her the love of God. You want a better husband? Love him. Fight the flesh. Surrender to the Spirit of God. You want better children? Love them first.
Amen.
Love them first. And then watch that love, that transformative love that God has. This is not that worldly love. This is not that just I speak it with words but not actions. This is that transformative love of God, that agape love, that everlasting love.
Yes.
You love them first, and then you can watch them grow and be beautiful and branch out. I may not have started off as a great wife, but the love that I get teaches me wife.
Amen.
I can't do it by myself. Not one seed can plant itself, nor can it water itself.
Amen.
Nor can it cause itself to grow. There is something needed from an external party.
Yes.
In order for that plant to grow.
Amen.
You want the seed of love and affection, confidence and joy in your household, in your family, among your family and friends. You be the one to plant the seed and water it. Because you already know, if you want it, you already know what it takes to get it.
Right.
Because how could you want something you have no idea what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You already know. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him whom we must give an account.
Yes.
Don't fool yourself. He sees and he knows exactly who you are. I said, Lord, I am not equipped. I am not ready. I say this every time I have to speak. Ask Drea. I am not equipped and I'm not ready and I don't feel like I put enough into it. First of all, how many times did I say I? Like three or four times? Focusing on the wrong person. My focus is on the wrong person. Because it's not about my equipment or my ability or how eloquent I can speak. Or even how much I want to make sure that I give them the implanted word of God. What did I say before? What you get out of it is what you put into it, what you take back. What I've said came from him. What you've gotten out of this all depends on how much you're willing to sit and meditate and allow that word to wash over you. So when I sit and I go, I can't do it. He says, nothing's here for my side. I know you're going to say this until I come. This will be our conversation every single time until I come. However, nothing's hidden from my sight. I know who you are. I know what I want you to say and how I want you to say it. I know what I want you to do. If you lean in me, if you trust on me, I'll lay out the plan for you, but I'm not going to give you the whole house. First, learn this room. See how I want this laid out. You're not ready for the bedroom. You need to stay in the living room.
Amen.
You just got in the door. And it doesn't matter if you've been saved 20 to 30 years. Sometimes it takes us a while to understand. Some of us just not, our mind don't work that way to get the layout. And it's okay, long as you're learning.
Right.
However long it takes, long as you're learning.
Right.
But he's saying, you're not ready to go and take over the rest of the house. I want you to sit here, right here. And I can see us. He's sitting on the couch and I'm at the floor, the fireplace going, and he's just pouring into me his word. I can see it. I can feel it. I want to just go home and do it now. Sorry. I digress. But I can actually see that, my time with the Lord, making it personal, making it important, and then looking at my day-to-day life and realizing that every moment means something.
Yes.
I am not a product of this world. I am not of this world. I am a creation of my Heavenly Father.
Yes.
And so my mission, my desires, my hopes and dreams are buried in Him. That's what you say to yourself every day. My desire is to live it out for Him. It's not whether or not I get the promotion. I don't get the promotion, so I'm going to pout and I'm going to act a fool and I'm going to mess up everything. Yeah. And then when you try to go to the next job, they'll find out.
Yeah.
I didn't get the promotion, so I just work hard where I am. It's not whether or not you get the newer house or the newer car. It's not what you can obtain in your hands right here that counts. It is what you obtain in your spirit. His word is from everlasting to everlasting.
Yes.
His word is never going to die. The house will burn. The car will stop or be wrecked or whatever. The companies will go out of business. Spouses pass away. Children move away. Everything we have here and that we see and that we hold on so tightly to is temporary.
Yeah.
It's temporary. But living our life for Christ, being hidden in His word, we take on, every day we spend time in His word, we take on some more of that everlasting.
Yes.
Do you want some more everlasting?
Yes.
Spend time in His word. Every time you're praying, every time you're allowing Him to usher you into His spirit, you're taking on more of that everlasting. Lord, I want some more of that everlasting until He comes. Until He comes. No one can take that word from you. It is everlasting.
Yes.
No one. You can lose your memory. I've heard of people with amnesia lose their memory and they still remember scriptures.
Yeah.
They still remember the word of God. They don't know their name or yours. But I know God loves me.
Amen.
Right? Because His word is everlasting. Take on His word. Be conscious of His presence and redeem His time.
Amen.
It won't last forever. Our time here is not meant to be forever. Redeem it. Use it for goodness, for graciousness, for the love of our Lord and Savior. Use that time well. And don't forget to just sit in His presence. Amen.
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 Amen.